Good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming, especially on this busy Super Sunday before Pesach. Today I have a lot that I'd like to cover. Last week we gave a share on some of the, we called the magnificent minhagim for Pesach and the Seder. Today we entitled the share more magnificent minhagim for Pesach and the Seder. Some people ask me if they missed last week's share, could they still come to this week's? The answer is yes. Last week we just dealt with somewhat of the periphery, talking about the Seder plate, Kittel, other minhagim. Today I hope to get into the guts of the actual Seder from Kadesh all the way to Nirtza. Right, the whole Kit and Kabbalah, including Chagadia. That's what we'd like to do today. Now, to begin, this event that we're going to have, Bez Hashem, this year, Friday night, is called the Seder. The Pesach Seder. I guess in yeshiva, you used to, you know, we have a morning Seder, afternoon Seder, night Seder. Yeshiva, you have Sederim all year round. Pesach, you call it the Seder. Is there a significance to the name? Why do we call it the Seder? Right, we don't have a Seder on Chanukah, Sukkot, maybe we call it Shavuos night. We don't call it the Seder, Lel Shavuos, Tikkun Lel Shavuos. So, really the concept of Seder is a very, very important idea for the night of Pesach. Seder means everything should be done in order. By definition, that means it's thought out, it's prepared, it's scripted, there's a clear order of what you have to do that night. And that's a very, very important theme for the Yom Tov of Pesach. There's so much that we have to do that our Chazal defined the night as a night of Seder. A night of doing everything in order. Make sure that everything on your checklist gets done. There's so many people, you have a list of things to do. You could do it in such a behala, with such confusion, grabbing this, grabbing that. That's the exact opposite of what our Chazal want the night of Pesach to be. Even though it's very hectic leading up to Pesach. But once Pesach comes, it's a night of Seder, a night of scripted, premeditated, calculated, worked out events, one after the other. Fact, the Rishonim write, the whole order that we have, Kadesh Orchatz, Karpas Yachatz, right? We sing it as a song in the beginning of the Seder, and many Mefarshim say, before each event, for each part of the Seder, we're supposed to announce it. Beginning with Kiddush, you announce Kadesh Orchatz. Gets a little bit tricky to announce Motzi Matzah, right after you wash. It's okay. So you could announce by washing, we're about to do matzah, maror, or korich. But really, there's a rhyme and a reason that we showed him right for everything we do. From the night being called Seder, from the script, the order, Kadesh Orchatz, to announcing it, everything we should do, it should be with a cheshbon. On top of that, we're going to see as we go through some halacha, some minhagim, really the issue of Seder comes up on two issues regarding the clock. There are two major areas that one would have to look at the clock in terms of the Seder. Firstly, probably the most common one is the machlokas in the Gemara. When could you perform the mitzvahs of Pesach till? Is it just till chatzos, or is it the whole night? And that comes up with issues famously known for the afikomen, that ideally one should eat the afikomen before chatzos, which I quickly checked here in Florida is around, I think, 1:30. So we have some degree of time this year. But that's also an issue, not just about afikomen. You find halacha L'chachilo, one should drink all the dalad kosos before chatzos. We also find in halacha that halal, we'll get to, should also be said before chatzos. So really keeping an eye on the Seder, on the clock, obviously there are very large amount of many different cheshbonos that people have. You know, your wife slavered away to prepare a whole Pesach Seder. You can't sit there with a stopwatch. Okay, let's go. You know, quicker, because you know, people want to sit back and enjoy it. And you can have guests, and you can have kids, and you can have all many different players at your Seder that could delay the timing. So, okay, you have to be prepared for both eventualities. If you make it on time, you don't make it on time.
1:30 in the evening is pretty significant time.
So every depends on your crowd, depends if the food's ready. There's so many different variables. So that's one issue is to get in before chatzos. There's another timing issue, which we'll also touch on, that for bracha achrona, if one would drink wine and not make a bracha achrona, normally you have 72 minutes till you have to complete your bracha achrona. So the Mefarshim talk about that being an issue when you drink the first cup of wine, because you're not directly making a bracha achrona on that. We'll get to that in a moment. But this year, we'll see, it gets more complicated. This particular year, based on how Pesach falls out, there's another thing to keep in mind for that. So therefore, when we talk about having a Seder, it's not just everything should be organized so we get to doing all the mitzvos, and we do it at a peaceful, normal rate. There are also time considerations, whether it's the issue of chatzos, whether it's the issue of 72 minutes, is man equal for a person to make a bracha achrona. So there are issues involved, and therefore you have to plot out, you have to keep one eye on the clock, not nervously, but with patience, to see that you're able to fulfill your script of the Seder to the best of your ability. I think I myself am going to try to practice this. Usually, I could tell how much material I have for a share when I fill up a certain spot on the page. This share is longer than that. In fact, according to my calculations, I have 15 different points. Because I want to go through every single one of the Simanei HaSeder. So I myself am going to practice doing things al Seder, doing things with one eye on the clock. And you'll tell me, hopefully, I'll tell you, by the end of Sher, if we reached our conclusion within time. Now, the first of the Simanim is Kaddish. In fact, some of the first we talk about, we don't necessarily have every mitzvah of the night clearly depicted in the Simanei HaSeder. It doesn't... We just say Kaddish. We don't say, we talk about doing four cups of wine. So some Mefarshim on the Haggadah say that Kaddish is inclusive of all four cups of wine. When we say the Simen Kaddish, means everything. Also, and this fits with the explanation from different Mefarshim, is the other cups of wine that we're doing at later points really are part of that later point in the Seder. Like the second cup is really part of Magid, the end of Magid, so it's really part of that. Third cup is with benching, the fourth cup with halal. So therefore it doesn't need to be specified as four different cups because they're within the different parts of the Seder that they're put at. Special reason for each. Now, I went looking through probably a dozen Haggadahs, a dozen Svarim, looking through all different minhagim to find interesting things to share this morning. The first minhag I found is absolutely fascinating. I'm not sure that most people have it. And usually in the minhagim we say that, okay, you should keep what's kept in your father's house. But this is a type of minhag which I think is easily adaptable for anybody. This is a minhag that anyone can keep. And it's a beautiful minhag. Trust me, you'll thank me afterwards if you adapt it. Where did I find this minhag about Kaddish? I have to give credit. There's this big Haggadah published by the Adopt a Kollel organization. Got to be 800 pages. So I found there, they brought in print this minhag. It's the only place I ever saw this minhag quoted. Beautiful minhag for Kaddish. What's the minhag? Don't scream at your kids or your guests if they spill the wine. A very, very important minhag for the night of Pesach. What's the makor for such a minhag? Where does this come from? So it's Beferish Rav Kiva Eiger. I, in Yeshiva Taina, Rav Kiva Eiger is, you know, one of the greatest gaonim. Such brilliance you see in his questions and his answers. I think this move from Rav Kiva Eiger might go down as his greatest chiddush ever. Story has it, Rav Kiva Eiger, great Rav, had multiple guests by his table the night of Pesach, and the table set perfectly for the Seder. They come, sit there by Kiddush, and stomach, everybody lifted up their cup. There's an idea in Halacha for everyone to lift up their cup. And one of his guests goes and spills the entire cup all over the table. Beautiful white sheet was now covered with wine. Rabbi Kiva Eiger, being the quick Eloi Gon that he was, without skipping a beat, drops his cup, and his cup spills all over the table. And then he remarks, "Oy, such a bad rickety table." Yes, or Rabbi Kiva Eiger's Hasidim went and they spilled. No.
Obviously, he knew his wife pretty well.
I understood this Rabbi Kiva Eiger being such a chiddush to be able to think about that in a moment's notice, just on the spur of a moment, and to do it as a reaction to get the guy to feel not so bad that he did it. Only the Gonus or Kiva Eiger could figure out something like that. But at least if we're scripted ahead of time, we know, look, it's only wine. I think there's some other story with Rav Huntner. Someone also once spilled wine on his machzer. And he said, you know, a Pesach machzer without wine is like a Yom Kippur machzer without tears. Beautiful line. It goes hand in hand. Yeah, it's expected. It's okay. And I think that's an important minhag that probably we could all try to adapt. Now, if you look in the middle of your sheets, the Ramah in Kuf on Tuf Ein Gimel writes about Kaddish, Baal Bayis lo yimogiz ba'atzmo. The Baal Bayis shouldn't pour the cup for himself. Rak acher yimozig lo derech heres. Someone else pours for you the cup, derech heres. That's an expression of freedom. And this idea is commonly kept, wherever it's able to, in families and places, that people don't pour their own wine. Rather, other people pour for them. Now, I did find some people state that this minhag is not as widespread as it should be. Some people have the minhag that only the leader, the Baal Bayis, the leader of the Seder, only his cup is poured for him. But everybody else, you're not a VIP, everybody else pours their own.
Going coach.
There's two sets of minhagim and klai Yisrael on this. I think probably the common minhag is for everyone to get their cup poured for them.
Yeah.
However, there are some that have the minhag. Yet last week we talked about, in some places, only the Baal Bayis, the person leading the Seder, wears a kittel. There are multiple minhagim, which we'll see soon, might be limited only to the Baal Bayis. But this is one of them. There are some that say only the Baal Bayis, the person leading the Seder, has his cup poured for him. And if you look in the Lashon of the Ramah, there's a little bit of a proof to that. Look at the Lashon. U'Baal Bayis lo yimozig ba'atzmo. The Ramah uses the language of the Baal Bayis. Now, we might have spread this minhag to everybody, but there is basis for this minhag to be limited to the Baal Bayis. You know, there's madrigos. Everyone feels chashuv. Maybe the Baal Bayis should feel like a VIP. He gets his cup poured for him. I think they have, you know, some families will, you know, get to Urchatz. We'll get to that. But sometimes they bring the washing to the table. So, well, Dafka, that not necessarily is brought down. It's another idea of Derech Eretz. But maybe over there, maybe only the Baal HaBayis should get it. Or people that can't make it, to, you know, to wash, obviously. But that's another idea by Kaddish. A third idea by Kaddish is the issue that I alluded to before. Now, first, let me read it inside the Mishnah Berurah. In right over there, in the beginning of your page, we just read Shosa beheseba ve'inam avarech acharav. Firstly, very important, you have to drink the cups with heseba. If you don't drink a beheseba, that's tremendous problems. So, ideally, a person should be leaning halacha. A person should be leaning when he drinks the four cups. The Einu Mevarach Acharav. The Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch writes, we don't make a bracha achrona after this cup. Right? You made Havdalah last night. Right after Havdalah, you make a bracha achrona. Right? Normally on Shabbos, we don't. We make Kiddush. We don't make a bracha achrona. We go, but that's because we go straight from Kiddush to Hamotzi. But over here, where there's a delay, I'm not going straight from Kiddush to Motzi. So potentially there's an issue. A person should make a bracha achrona. To that, the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch is writing, we don't. Why not? So if you look there in the Mishnah Berurah, it says Sifkat and Yud Aleph, at the Inam Avarach Akhra of Al Gefen, Afilu Shasa Revias, even if you drink a full Revias, the Somech Amashi Varach Birchas Amazim of the Sof. One reason the Chavetz Chaim gives is, you know, benching later will cover it. Okay? That's one explanation. Secondly, he writes, V'od Arei Yivarach Baruch Achrona L'Sof Dal Kosos. Not only do you make berachas amazon, after the fourth cup, we do make a bracha achrona. So that also works. Now, this, the Chavetz Chaim, so halacha l'maisa, the Chavetz Chaim does bring two valid reasons to back up the Mechaber that one does not make a bracha achrona over here. However, the modern day poskim do talk about this as an issue. They even talk on why does the Chavetz Chaim have to bring two as far as why was the first one good enough? Must be a flaw. Second one too, just like a Tosos. So, there are many poskim that talk about this is something that we should be nervous of. Or, better word, better term, should be on our minds. Is if you're able to complete Magid within 72 minutes and then go and wash and make a motzi, so then that would be okay, just like any other Shabbos. But really expanding it and going longer, that's where you really get into issues. And then a bracha achrona potentially is something to keep in mind. Now, there are, the modern poskim talk about all different ideas how to get around it. Supposedly, Shlomo Zalman Orbach would have sips of water during Magid. This way, he's able to extend his shear. Very, you know, important idea. If you ever don't want to bench on something, you know, so long you have little bites of bread, that keeps the clock moving. So too with drink. If you drank a gefen, now to drink another more wine before the second cup, that's not pashut, right? Even though the kids sometimes like sneaking when they do the makos, right? They have wine in their fingers. You know, it's always good to grab a little, you know, snip. That's really, as an adult, you shouldn't do that. Not really supposed to drink wine between the two cups. But water might be harmless. And that was something that Rosh Shlomo Zalman would do. You have little sips to keep the shear going. However, most poskim don't recommend that. There are different ideas. One idea that I found Rosh Shmuel Kamenetsky recommends is really, in order to say bracha achrona, you have to drink the full shear of revias. What happens if you just drink, you say rov revias, when he terms it, rov revias to Rabbanim. You drink just the rov of that. Your yotze, your dal kosos, but you wouldn't be mechuyev in a bracha achrona. So sometimes people go the opposite. You know, it's the beginning of the Seder, so then, oh, first cup, I could polish off the whole first cup. But it might be just the opposite. If you polish off the first cup, then you're really getting yourself into bracha achrona issues. Now, there are some poskim who say there's a maila in all the cups to drink the entire cup. But Rishul Kamenetsky calls that a chumra de asuli de kula. Because if you do drink the full cup, and now you're absolutely chayiv in a bracha achrona, and your magid, all your kids' divrei Torah, take for a while, your grandkids' divrei Torah, take for a while, and you're not getting up to motzi matzah within 72 minutes, so then you really have this bracha achrona issue. So that's what Shmuel Kamenetsky recommends. The best thing to do is just drink a rover vias, which in that case, you want to be mechayiv a bracha achrona, and you're good. Now, what gets tricky is this year. Shmuel writes that his Eitza works every year, except for this year. Because since this year, Friday night, the Seder's on Friday night, it's on Shabbos, and now you have a Chiyav Kiddush with your first of the Dalet Kosos for Shabbos, so now you really have to drink a full Revias. Once you drink the full Revias, now the clock really starts ticking for your Bracha Achrona. Now you have 72 minutes. So now you're going to run into these issues. Now, again, Mishabura Halacha Maisa does seem to paskin that you can be somech on Berachas HaMazel, and your Bracha Achrona at the end of the four Kosos. But within this issue, if you're going to be choshish for this problem of your Bracha Achrona, then you have to figure out one other Eitza. But these other ones not available.
So Havdalah,
Havdalah the second night. Right? Do I need a full cup? So I'm not sure that's al-schiv or al-sminog. Right? The idea of drinking, there's a good point you bring up. You know, the second night, we're going to do Havdalah on that coast. And I saw multiple different minhagim, you know, people have to spill over and to this and that, you know. You know, we could give a share just on the minhagim that people have for Havdalah. Not even talking about Karbach Havdalah, just simple Havdalah. There are tons of different minhagim that people have, you know, I don't know, the packing away the wine into their pockets. I don't know where these things come from. But, huh? So I saw people write that even though this Kiddush by the Seder also is Havdalah, but really we take the minhagim of Kiddush over Havdalah. That gets Dima. So I'm not sure how Havdalah you really need to drink the full cup, or it's really just the minhag that we do that. It's a siman bracha. But, yeah.
Is it the same if you make Kiddush or someone else
is doing it? I mean, for Shabbos.
For, I guess, either one, but, yeah, Shabbos is worth
it. For Dalet Kosos, it doesn't matter if you're the one making the you know, really, as I spoke out, they're different minhagim. Does everybody recite the Kiddush? But either way, you're fully responsible. There's no difference between you and the leader, if there would be a leader in your house, for the Kiddush. You need it all closest fully. You know, for Shabbos, it might be an interesting step. And maybe only the leader doing it, not me. I'm not sure. Yes?
The question is on break Kriya Golfin. So we say it once, and then we say it again, and we say it again. And so doesn't the first bracha cover us?
Excellent, excellent point. Right? Does. Right, right. Very interesting. Very, very, very interesting point. Right? You're bringing up that, look, we make a Bor Kriya Gafen by the first of the Dalet Kosos, and then by the Kier family favorite second cup. So there, we go through a whole lashon at the end of Halal. And over there also, we make a bracha, Bar Priya Gafen. So you're asking, hey, if I'm still continuing for my first cup, I don't have to make a bracha achrona. So the simple teretz to that is not so simple, but it's a whole din in Hilchos Brachos, that bracha rishona and bracha achronos don't necessarily follow the same rules. And you might be mechayev to make a new bracha rishona, even though you're not yet, may not be mechuyev a bracha achrona. Seemingly it's contradictory, exactly like you asked. But those rules don't necessarily overlap. And there are different steps involved in it. Yes?
So you said you can't use water to continue?
There are, Shlomo Zalman did.
Right. So let's say you have your rov kos on your first kos, and you drink a little bit of wine from that kos before the second kos?
Oh, so I saw someone bring that down too, I think. Right, they wanted to hawk that, because that's not real. In other words, I only drank rov kos. It's a brilliant idea. I only drank Rove Kos. I'm not drinking really a new cup. It's really part of my first one. So maybe I should be allowed to do that.
Now you start
Maggid. Huh?
Once you start Maggid, you now separate it.
Oh. Right. So some... Right. So the argument against it would be, as Ephraim is saying, that Lamaisa, that first cup is really outside of Maggid, right? The second cup is from Maggid. So really, that might itself end your timeline for that in terms of drinking the cup. But it's complicated. So I just want to leave you the problems while I give you answers.
But also that second cup isn't on the coast. That second bracha is not on the coast. It's on Maggid.
Right, but you still... No, but you're making a Bar Priya Gafen.
Yeah, I understand that, but...
So the Bar Priya Gafen is on the cup.
I got married with Bar Priya Gafen as well as the...
Yeah, right. Right, that could be part of it too. Then we need a Gafen in part of this, make the cup part of that. Okay, hold on. I have to watch my Seder. So that's Kaddish. So three issues. Remember, the new Minog, which I think is the best Minog I found so far in Haggadah. Don't scream and people spill, right? I'm saying it as a normal thing. People are going to spill, so don't scream. Good Musar Seder. Number two, someone should pour for you. Different minhagim for everybody, just the Baal HaBayis. And thirdly, this bracha achrona, which is in every year is a hak, is an issue, potentially. But this year in particular, you have to, ideally you should drink not just Rov Revias, but more than that, Rov Revias, at least the Raisa, to fulfill a din of Kiddush. Next comes Orachatz. Now, it's interesting. I found in some Haggadahs, I don't know that I ever saw someone do this, that some people that only the Baal HaBayis washes for Orachatz. There's a whole major discussion. Do you need to wash for Orachatz? You know, for dipping. So it's machlokas about that. So there's some that have the minhag that only the Baal HaBayis. Once again, this theme that the Baal HaBayis is different than everybody else. So some have the minhag that only the Baal HaBayis washes. However, most people wash. Now, the important thing, which has two aspects to it, is this washing is different than all the other washings of the year, which you do not say a bracha. Now, there are some people that say, if I don't say a bracha anyway, I could schmooze from the time I wash till we dip our karpas. So that, the mafarshim bring down, ideally one should not talk. Even though there's no issue of a bracha, but again, outside of, you are allowed to talk about things you need for the Seder, but outside of that, just to schmooze, even though you didn't make a bracha, one shouldn't talk by Orchatz. Now the second thing, and this happens also a lot, right? Your default setting, you go to the washing station, you wash in both hands, you wipe the towel, and as you're wiping the towel, you make the bracha. Now you say, whoops, I made a bracha. Shouldn't have done that. Now what? Very interesting halacha. I came across that Shmuel Kamenetsky holds. There really is an issue we'll talk about later by rachsa. Rachsa, we all say you do make a bracha. There are those that talk about, well, maybe you don't even need to wash because you washed beforehand. It's okay, we say no, we misakim for sure to wash a second time. But if one made a bracha by mistake, by Orchatz, or Shmuel Kamenetsky holds, he's arguing with the Kaf HaChaim, he clearly argues with him. But if Shmuel Kamenetsky holds, if you mistakenly made a bracha by Orchatz, right? In the beginning, by carp. No, you don't need a bracha on carp. It's a whole different
thing. I understand. I'm saying you did make a bracha before.
Right. But you made a bracha on that washing before carpas. Then you would not need to make a bracha by your washing, by rachsa, before motzi matzah. Black and white with Shmuel Kamenetsky. Pasuk like that. It's against the Kaf HaChaim. But he feels, even if you didn't have kavana for it, but automatically, once you wash there, as long as you weren't Mesiach Das, definitely a lot of things could happen from the time of the Seder, from there to the end. You could be Mesiach Das. You could lose your focus. But assuming... No. But it's part of the Seder. But... you go off to find out what happened last night to the Yankees. So, I don't know. But many things. But... ideally, one could, in that situation, when they made a bracha, they may not need to make a bracha later. That's orchats. Karpas. So karpas has one of the classic major minhagim fights of any family. What do you use for karpas? Do you use potato or patata? No. Potato or celery. Those are probably the two winners for karpas. Karpas is a vegetable. We don't know exactly what karpas is. So there are different minhagim. There's a fascinating story with Ramosha Feinstein. Somebody came to Ramosha, asked, what should you use for karpas? So Ramosha says, celery. Interesting. This guy, heard that Ramosha doesn't use celery. He says, what does the Rashiva use? He's like, potato. Can you just tell me that I'm supposed to use celery? He's like, yeah. If you ask me the shaila, I'll tell you you should use celery. He says, I use potato because that's what my wife grew up with. And that's what she insists we use for Pesach. So that's what I use. Very important yesod of Pesach. It's called Shalom Bayis. Even though there might be a minhag or better minhag, Moshe felt to use celery. But if your wife is fixated from the time that she grew up, her state of her childhood was a potato, you're not going to change that. And Moshe went and used the potato all his life. Quite amazing. That's karpas. Yachatz. So I found from the Kaf HaChaim, also from Chazon of Avadja, also because I remember my father would always do this, is there is some minhag, right? You take the middle matzah, you break it, you put it in your afikomen, zekel, bag, and some of the minhag to put it on their shoulders and walk around. As a kid, it was a cute spectacle to watch. I remember it. But the idea behind it is a zecher to Yetzias Mitzrayim, that they went out with their matzahs on their shoulders. Wonder why, we can pick up the whole zekel, the beginning of the Seder, put all the matzahs there. Afikoman is more beloved. Maybe it's also a smart way for the parent to go and hold on to his afikoman, you know, before it gets taken a moment later. Yes, I did see one chumrah, right? Someone wanted this one would kill kids. Someone wanted to say, well, the afikoman is doma to the Karban Pesach. I'm not saying this, this is in parentheses. So the Karban Pesach, there's a din that you have to watch the Karban Pesach the whole time. The animal has to be under your care, can't lose sight of it for a moment. So then the same thing should be with your afikoman. How can you let your kid steal it? It's zecher l'afikoman, zecher l'Karban Pesach. So they recommend you swapping right away, keep the actual afikoman with you, and for the kids, give another piece of matzah, give them that. But that's a chumrah ba'alma. I never heard of that until I found it. But in terms of stealing the afikoman, so there is a basis, really, people traced it all the way back to the Gemara. Now, I did see one interesting thing in the Kamenetsky home, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. They might have allowed for the kids to take the afikoman, but they're makbid gomer, they shouldn't use the word stealing. Because you shouldn't, it's bad chinuch, the night of chinuch. Seder is a night all about teaching lessons. How can you teach a kid a lesson that's okay to steal? So they rather use the word taking the afikoman, grabbing the afikoman. Right. You want your kid to be a criminal. Yeah.
they just hide it. They're
hiding. Hiding the afikoman. Okay. Talking about kids. The kids are the stars of the show by Maggid. Now we have to realize this is an important thing. Right? Everyone gets pumped up for the Manashtana, right? They ask the Manashtana in how many languages when my kid came to me. He said, Daddy, I have the Manashtana. Besides, of course, in English. And Hebrew, but he also has in Yiddish, Spanish, French, and Russian. Boy, his Rebbe gets extra credit. My second grader. Six languages, here we come. Amazing. But besides the kids asking the Manashtana, it's very important for the parent, the Baal HaBayis, the person, really it's the parent's responsibility to answer the question clearly and succinctly. Right? The kid knows he asked the question. And next thing you know, you're talking for 5 hours and like, where's the answer to my question? In yeshiva, we teach the guys, you know, somebody asks 10 kashas on a sugya, and then they give one answer. Okay, exactly how does it answer all the questions? I actually went through with the guys in yeshiva. Of the four questions we ask, there's at least one, maybe two, that we don't really answer clearly in the Haggadah. So where's the answer to that one? It's important to be thorough and clear. But clear answer that all this was done because we went out of Mitzrayim and Kadosh Baruch Hu with tremendous chesed, we were slaves and saved us. So we go from Avdus to Chayrus and we're doing different things to portray both of those sides tonight. It's a pretty clear answer. Make sure to give a clear answer to that. I came across an amazing story. I found this from Elia Baruch Finkel, who's a Ram in the Mir, told over from back in Europe, in Radin, the original Mashkiach in Yeshiva in Radin was Rabbi Ruchem Lvovitz. Later became the Mashkiach in the Mir. But at first, he was a Mashkiach in Radin. While he was in Radin, he got the following question from one of the Talmidim in the Yeshiva. This Talmud was planning on going home for Pesach. His parents were expecting him. And right before Yontif, he got an offer to eat Siddurim with the Chafetz Chaim. That's the opportunity of a lifetime. The Chafetz Chaim, literally a malach, to have a Seder next to the Chafetz Chaim, amazing thing. And it seems from the question that this yeshiva bachur understood, if he would stay in yeshiva, eat by the Chafetz Chaim, his parents would be okay with it. His parents would be mochel. They understand. You have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to eat by the Chafetz Chaim. We'd love to see you, but that's maybe something you can't pass up. But this bachur was still asking the shaul, what's the right thing to do? Should I stay in yeshiva, eat by the Chafetz Chaim, or go home? Rabbi Ruchem spent time thinking about the shaul, and he paskened, told this bachur he should go home. Why? Because the main place that a person should learn the basics of emunah is in your own house. It's from your own parents, your own grandparents. That's the importance of the night of the Seder. Amazing story. You have the chance to go to the Chafetz Chaim, spend the Seder with the Chafetz Chaim, or with your nice father, grandparents. Zucker B'Ruchem Lvovitz, the Seder night is ideally for a bachur to be home with his parents, because that's what your own imbibe. These lessons will last for a lifetime. I think that's a very important theme for what Maggid is. You're giving over, that's the part of the essence of the Seder. You're giving over the basics, the fundamentals of Judaism, our belief in Hashem through all generations. Hashem took care of us. Hashem saved us. That's something that a child needs to hear from his parents, from his grandparents. And it's an important thing. It's beautiful for the kid to see, but it's also important for us to realize our responsibility, what we have to offer. I saw in Minog, Reb Chaim Brisker would hold the cup the entire Maggid. Again, most people don't do this. Maybe at certain points, we lift it up, the Isha Amda, maybe during Hallel, different minhagim. Reb Chaim Brisker had a minhag to hold it the entire time. This itself also shows the importance of the entire Maggid. It's not just you sitting back and shooting the breeze and saying some divrei Torah at the Shabbos table. No, it's much more serious than that. And he would hold the cup the whole time. And there's even basis for it in Rabbeinu Yonah. Because Rabbeinu Yonah, some of the Rishonim, Lashon is mashma, such a thing. But again, most people don't do such a minhag. Rachza. Moving along, right? Now, I'll just add one more thing by Maggid. I found, different Gedolim probably had different ways they treated Maggid. I'm sure there were many that spent hours and hours and hours going through Maggid. What happens with the whole time clock? Different things, Avnei Nezer's trick for the Afikomen. It only works for Afikomen. It doesn't work for Dalai Kosa Sahalo. Okay. But I found that Shlomo Zalman Orbach would go through the Seder at a pretty quick pace. He would recite the basics, you know, some divrei Torah, but move. Part of it might have been the schezmon of the clock, but also, you know, the more you dray out the magid part, the later parts of the Seder, you might have people dropping off and not participating in. And, you know, you could save the extra divrei Torah for after Nirtza, right? There's an idea of staying up the whole night of Pesach, you know, staying up as long as a person can until he falls asleep, talking about the Seder. That's a good time. You want your extra divrei Torah to say. I even saw, I believe in the Emek Bracha years ago, Talmidim of the Brisker Rav, that of all the nights of the year, you know, people stay up the night of Shavuos. It's a nice idea, but there's more of an Indian to stay up the night of Pesach all night than any other night in the Jewish calendar. Kol Marbe, Sabi Tzis Mitzrayim, there's a mitzvah, you know, to learn up until you fall asleep. So there is an idea to do that later. So that might be the better time to go through all these things. Yes?
Don't we accomplish that by our understanding that Pesach and Shavuos are kind of one together? So we're putting together. So
that sounds like a nice drasha you could say over at the Seder, especially because it's short. Perhaps. There's a Ramban that says it's like Chol HaMoed, all the days in between. Yeah, beautiful. Rachsa. So this we touched on before. Touched as a pun, that we wash a second time, and simply we wash here with the bracha, here for sure you shouldn't talk in between. And really, we'll talk about in a moment, from Motzi Matzah till Korech, there's an idea, someone told me, Rabbi Shapiro touched on this yesterday in the share, really that one shouldn't talk the whole time. So really, before a person washes, they, you know, as you get in the huddle, and spell out to all their receivers and backs, you know, where they're going, what they're doing. This is the battle plan. Okay, we're going to do Motzi Matzah, then Marer, then Korech. Shouldn't talk out and, you know, figure out all the different things. You know, beforehand is a good idea. Now, in terms of making a bracha, because you did wash before, so there are some that had the minhag, the Be'er Halacha does bring it down, that it's best to touch a covered part of a person's body to make sure at that point, therefore, you're chayiv in the Tilas Yadayim to make a bracha. Otherwise, there is some of a doubt if your hands were, your focus was there, your hands are clean, you didn't touch anything in between. So really, your first washing should count all the way now. So that's why they talk about an idea of touching some uncovered part. Now, with matzah, maror, and korech, Rabbi Sharfman Tetzal had a beautiful minhag. I would like to see, I get the time to do it this year. He would sit on Erev Pesach and measure out for all of the people by his Seder the shiurim for matzah, maror, and korech. It's a very smart, time-saving idea to sit there with the chart. Also, depending on families, depends how many charts you have. You know, definitely very recommended. You know, those color-coded, size-type charts, which to figure out the shiurim of matzah, maror, or korech, all different things. So Rabbi Sharfman would actually sit there in an Erev Yontif, measuring out portions for each of his guests. This way, they'll each have their set thing in front of them. No one has to measure it. Just go and eat it. Yes?
This year, when Pesach falls out on Shabbos, there may be a problem with the measuring. So by measuring out beforehand, you have that thing.
Yeah, so the Mefarshim speak out, measuring for this and measuring for a mitzvah, so the hair is not a problem. So that we could do. Yes. So you could do that on Shabbos.
Just don't take out your pens.
Right. Now, matzah really deserves, you know, all these different mitzvahs. We could spend the whole share just talking about the specifics of the mitzvah. I'm just going to give a quick overview. People are very particular with their matzahs, right? I only want matzah from this and this bakery. Everything else, what were you saying before, Hanan? They're all treif? No. Everything else. So, I saw, once again, a beautiful story from Ramosha. This one was not in any English sefers, in some Israeli sefer. But one year, Ramosha went to the matzah bakery with his talmidim, and one talmud after the baking was all nervous that his matzahs, you know, weren't good. You know, there's something wrong with them. And Ramosha says, "Don't worry, there's nothing wrong with your matzahs. There's something wrong with them." So Ramosha said to the talmud, "I have an idea. How about you take mine and I'll take yours? That's a good lesson. Moshe's willing to offer his, you know, yours are fine, I'll take yours. But Moshe was insistent. No, 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 I want your matzah. Here's my matzah, you take yours. Moshe obviously was giving over an important lesson. Don't get so caught up on your matzahs and this. You know, you think there's a problem, I'll take your matzahs. There's an amazing Mishnah Brura. Someone pointed it out to me earlier this year. Mishnah Brura is in Siman Tuf Ayin Zayin, which is the halachas of Afikomen. Sif Katan Hey. This is what he writes. Kasuv Ashla. It's on the top of your page. I saw exalted people. Okay. He's talking about great people. They would kiss the matzah and the marah, and the sukkah when they go in the beginning of the yontif and when they leave. The chin arbor minim shabalulav, and so too your four species on sukkahs. Va'kol chivav ha-mitzvah, and this is all to make beloved for your endearment to the mitzvah. For ashrei mi sha'ovid es Hashem b'simcha, fortunate somebody who serves Hashem b'simcha. A beautiful idea. You know, many have the minhag, you walk through a doorway, especially the door of your house, right? You kiss the mezuzah. Right? It's not a chiv. No. But it's a nice thing. It's a minhag. But there's some minhagim we do, which there's a lot of meaning behind it. And you kiss the mezuzah, the more you focus on it, you appreciate, hey, Hashem watches my door better than any security system, any security camera that I could get. You know, obviously we do our shadlos, but you know, the mezuzah is a very important aspect of a person's life. But what din other mitzvahs too? You have the chance to do, you know, we say a shechianu by these mitzvahs. Now, Baruch Hashem, we have a chance to do a mitzvah. It's a wonderful, wonderful shechianu v'igyanu lazman hazeh. V'kimanu v'igyanu lazman hazeh. Thank you, Hashem, for sustaining me that I'm able to fulfill this mitzvah. And the idea that one could even kiss matzahs and marah too. You know, it's something that shows chavivas for a mitzvah. It's a nice idea. Now, especially the prices people pay for matzahs, maybe we should be kissing it. And I was wondering, why is this halacha brought down by the halachas of Afikomen? Well, after your kid hides it in who knows where, and you get it back, everyone should be kissing their matzah. But, you know, seriously speaking, it's a very nice minhag. I think this is the type of thing that people could adapt, even if it wasn't done in your parents' house. A nice idea. I don't think you have to do necessarily publicly. It would be nice for your kids to see. But it is a nice idea. Marer, there are different shitas. It's interesting. The Gemara gives five different ideas what could be used for marer. About half of them, we're not even sure what they mean. What's very interesting is only one of the five species that the Gemara lists for marer is actually called marer. And what's ironic is that's one of the ones that we don't know what it is. So really saying we did marer is not really true. We don't know what marer is. But it's one of the things we're supposed to eat. The bitter, you know, herb, vegetable, whatever it is. There are different minhagim. Obviously there are those, the real McCoys, like eating horseradish. You know, bring your goggles. Great idea. There are others who eat romaine lettuce. Again, as long as it's checked well, a great idea. I remember within my family, it was famous, probably from Yankel Pressman, but that Aaron Cutler, that's all, held that pure, simple iceberg lettuce is good for marer. Simple iceberg lettuce you can eat the rest of the year. 100%, that's good for marer, and there are those that have that minhag. Korech. Now, we spoke out this idea that one shouldn't speak out. Really, from the beginning, matzah, marer, the beginning you eat those till the end, because you'd want your bracha, the bracha on the chilas matzah and the bracha on maror, to go also on the korech. Now, within that is an interesting issue. There's a minhag to recite this paragraph, Zeichel and Mikdash Kehillel, Kehinos and Hillel, Bezman, Shabbos, Mikdash, Lekayim, Korach, Peitza, Matzah, Mara, or Matzah, Mara, Nachum. So when do you say that? The common minhag is as soon as you, the great Earl, you make your sandwich, right? You got your shawarma going, right? You got your shawarma going. So you're about to eat the whole thing, then you make say the Zeichel and Mikdash Kehillel. Okay, that's one minhag. And there are those that justify such a minute. However, there are others. Oh, this is done in my home. But I also found Rosh Shlomo Zalman and Rosh Shmuel Kamenetsky both give this idea, is to say the Zeichel Mikdash Kehillel after you eat the Korach. That way, there's no hefsek involved in saying that paragraph. And it still works, because I just ate it. So you can make that declaration. It's not a bracha, it's a declaration. So you could do that right after too, and it still would work. So that is another idea of how to go about that. Moving along, Shulchan Aruch. Now, all year round, your main course is usually the thing you focus on. Sure, there's a lot of good food, but also you have to keep in mind not to eat too much, because you also have afikomen coming for dessert. Now, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Tuf Ayin Bey, Zayin, that l'chachila one should do heseba by the meal. However, the minhag in the world is not to do that. Most people do not eat the meal by heseba. It's brought down, I found there, Yaakov Kamenetsky tried to do the meal by heseba. Tried means he didn't attempt to do the soup by heseba or anything else that could be too dangerous. He wouldn't try that. But there is some idea like that.
What's the word for
Seba? Be'aseba, leaning. Leaning. Now, there is a minhag not to have roasted meat or chicken on by the Seder, and to zecher to the fact that we don't have a Korban Pesach. And therefore, that was roasted. So we don't want to have roasted meat to feel the sadness that we're not able to have. We don't have a base of Mikdash. Yes. If, right, as long as there's, I saw even measurements, I don't know, 2 or 3 inches, but a certain amount of liquid involved, right, that takes it off the category of roasted.
And stick it out on the barbecue.
Correct. Now, first of all, there are also two qualifications. That only applies the night of the Seder. Next morning, you can have your barbecue. Go for it. Beautiful.
Except this year.
Huh?
Except this year.
Depends if you have, yeah, okay. But the second issue, this I found Rabbi Ribiat spells out in the Sefer, that you have to keep in mind, so this idea is a minhag. And there are many people that never heard of this minhag. And you could be a guest at somebody else's house or your own family. And what are they serving the night of Pesach? Roasted chicken. So Rabbi Ribiat rightfully writes over there that this is only a minhag, and embarrassing somebody publicly is a deraisa. And if you have a situation, he even talks about a situation where you found out about an Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach is a very stressful day, and you can't necessarily change your menu last minute. And even in such a case, he would not there want to eat roasted chicken, roasted meat on the night of the Seder. Because it will save Shalom Bias, it will save people from embarrassment. That's an important idea to keep in mind all year round.
So as a guest, you would eat it?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Is that only meat and chicken? Or
no, we would throw it in.
Yeah, only meat and chicken, yeah. Roasted potatoes are okay. Next, Safon. You're eating afikomen. So, okay, you eat afikomen, you eat a beseba. Really, also, it's important, it's an interesting halacha, it's brought down, you're only supposed to eat afikomen in one spot. So you shouldn't play musical chairs at that point in the Seder. Wherever you sit down to eat afikomen, finish it over there, specific halacha by the Karban Pesach, that you couldn't move, so too by the afikomen, don't flip seats. There's no, you're not supposed to eat or drink after the afikomen. And this is not like some Havdalah Kiddush rule we sometimes have. The reason why one can't eat after the Afikomen is the actual taste of Afikomen is supposed to be in your mouth for the rest of the night. Now, some people will say, oh, I can't stand the taste of matzah. One or two nights a year.
We close with a Kiddush.
Now, the posim talk about you potentially could drink afterwards, right? You drink Kiddush, you drink wine afterwards. But you can't have an extra drinks. And you, if you have in mind, you could have water. And they debate all different other fruit or flavor drinks, which is tricky because the idea is you don't want the taste of the matzah, the afikoma, to be out of your mouth. So if it's something that would take it away, one can't do it. Quickly, no. Baruch. By benching, it's ideal the first night of the Seder that the Baal Bayis should lead benching. And even though normally the Baal Bayis is nice and he'll give it over to other people, this is once again brought down that ideally the Baal Bayis should be the one leading the Seder that night. The second night he could pass it on to somebody else, but the first night he should be the one leading it. Two more things. Well, we should get in time. Halal. We mentioned before, ideally this should be done before Chatzos. You're saying halal without a bracha, so that means you could sing whatever you want. You could say over psukim. Normally you wouldn't do that if there's a bracha. That would be considered a hefsek. You could stop in the middle of halal to say a Dvar Torah about the paragraph you just read. Again, because there's no bracha. Ideally, for Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, that part of halal, just like we do in Shul, where it's said, where a chazan leads and everyone follows Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, ideally that's the way to do it. Now, in order to do it that way, you need a zimun. You need three people. And the same way that, okay, one person leans, two other people answer, that's what you should do. The Mishnah Berurah brings us down for Hodu Lashem Ki Tov and Halal. And if you don't have three adult males to join you, the Mishnah Berurah does write, you could even count your wife, because she's Mechayev in Halal. Potentially a kid who's the age of Chinuch could also count. Wife shouldn't lead, but that isn't one idea to do. Finally, we're up to Nirtza. Nirtza is a fascinating part of the Seder. It's really somewhat of an extension of Halal. Besides the normal praises to Hashem that we sing Shana Babi Shalayim, Salsa Pesach, and all different stanzas. And the first of the few are directly related to Pesach. When you get to the end, Echad Miyodea, what does that have to do with Pesach? You get to Chagadia, what does that have to do with anything? So firstly, I should note, people over the ages have doubted Chagadia's prominence in Haggadah. People said, you know, the heretics put it in, this or that. So firstly, rest assured, it's not true. The actual source of Chagadia, and actually Echad Miyodea, was found in a cloth written the Geniza in the base medrash of the Rokeach, one of the Rishonim. So it dates back, and who wrote it up, the author unknown, but definitely highly mystical, great work that the Gra, the Chassam Sofer, all had it in their Pesach Seder. They actually wrote Perushim on Chagadia, so it's 100% authentic, and it's part of the Haggadah to do. I have to end with a story, amazing story. The general theme of Pesach that we go through, you know, there's a meaning for everything, and the more meaning that we put into it, whether it's kissing the matzahs, whether it's us to give over the story to our family, whether it's our behavior at the Seder, not screaming, shalom bayis, all these are important ideals. But there's a reason for everything. Well, on that note, what's the reason in Chagadah for everything? Right? What's the last step? Asa Kadosh Baruch Hu, v'shachat l'malach ha'maves, v'shachat l'shochet, v'shachat l'tura, v'shachat l'maya, v'kavah l'nura. What's going on over here? Well, there was a story. The Nesivas, Rabbi Yaakov, Milisa, was a Rav, this big town. One day he came, and he found his local shochet. It was a cold European morning, and the shochet was downing shot after shot. Whiskey. Four shots. And the halacha in Hilchos Shechita is you can't shecht if you're drunk. So Rabbi Yaakov Melissa, as Rav of the city, goes over to the shochet and says, "Hey, buddy, you can't shecht like this. What are you doing?" "Rabbi, it's a cold day. Come on. Cut the guy some slack." And he goes off to go do Shechita. The Nesiva, Rabbi Yaakov Melissa, is undeterred, goes after him. He says, "You know what? I always had a kash on Chagadia." He says, "You know, I know why they killed the cat. Because he bit the dog. I know why they killed the dog. But why did they kill the shochet? He's just doing his job." "Well, I guess after four cups of wine, the shochet shouldn't have been shechting. Chagadia is something which wasn't just on the minds of people on Pesach. The Nesivas had it on the mind all year round. It was a great retort to some drunk shochet. And Ezra Hashem, our Seder should be as enjoyable as all these aspects. Thank you very much for listening. Chag Kosher v'Sameach.